Has anyone ever inspired you to create a more fulfilling and successful life for yourself? As a leader in your business and in your community, what are the questions that you ask yourself on a daily basis? What are the questions that keep you up at night? I am your host, Betty Collins. I am a CPA. I'm a business owner. And I partner with other women, other business owners who want to have remarkable results for themselves and for their business and their community. And I'm here to help inspire you to take positive steps forward for a better life. So over the next 12 episodes and kind of this season, we're going to focus on lessons learned. We're going to hear from other women who have learned lessons, and they're going to share with you. You know why? Because it's the right thing to do to help you navigate maybe similar situations that you're in. And you don't have to go through what they've gone through. And I hope to challenge you that you have lessons learned in your journey that other women need to hear. Never underestimate that part of your life and that story, because it will have impact. In my opinion, we're obligated to share those life lessons. In my opinion, we have a responsibility to each other, woman to woman, or women to men. But I really believe what we've learned in our lessons over our journey are impactful, and they need to be part of how you give back and how you help others. Today, we're doing a reflection episode of Inspiring Women. And today, I'm fortunate to have Eva Horton with us. She is part of Brady Ware, and she is definitely very involved in our women's initiative. So today, we're going to talk about a podcast we just had released, and it was about a woman-owned bank. And so today, we're going to be talking about Laria Rollins with Fortuna Bank. She's the CEO and president, and it's a women-owned bank, and it's called Fortuna. It is in the city of Columbus, and we are so fortunate that we have been able to see this come to fruition. Laria Rollins is the CEO and president, and I had the privilege of interviewing her. So make sure you go to that podcast. It'll be a link at the bottom of this podcast that we're doing today, where you can kind of hear her. And today, this podcast is more a follow-up from the women of Brady Ware. We try to do that to see and get their perspective. And today, we have Eva Horton, who is going to talk about her perspective of this women-owned bank and just that, what she got out of the podcast. So I hope you enjoy this today. It's an exciting time. Women-owned banks, run by women, board by women, investment by women, and we're going to make a difference in our community for sure. So Eva, today, just tell us who you are and what you do at Brady Ware. How long have you been here?
Well, I've been at Brady Ware about 8 years. I have kind of a different career path, I suppose, than a lot of the accountants and such that are at Brady Ware. I had been at home for 15 years. I started out in healthcare and then stayed at home with my children for 15 years and then decided to step back into the workforce and came to Brady Ware and an administrative assistant, and now I am working with all the offices, the administrative services and all the offices. So
She came here kind of part-time, and now she's like this big deal. And she runs the world. We love Eva. She plays such an important role in our company. And she's always very, very supportive of our women's initiative. She's always at the helm of those things and involved. So today we're going to just have some kind of Q&A time with her on some perspectives that she has. I think you'll get a lot out of it. So at Fortuna Bank, one of the goals is to bridge the gender gap in boardrooms and decision-making processes. How do you think that the Brady Ware Women's Initiative is similar to that?
You know, it's interesting. I definitely can think of professionally and personally how the Women's Initiative has impacted me. Certainly the Women's Internal Day, where all the women of Brady Ware get together. And, you know, it's just this incredible moment where everyone's listened to and feels empowered, and they talk about issues that really, I don't think there's any other forum where a lot of those issues would even come up. It's not a tax issue or an audit issue. And certainly, I know one that stands out in my head was when we talked about the year we discussed the maternity leave issue. And it was, you know, everyone kind of spoke about that and they took it back to leadership and it was researched and they made those changes. And I think that was just such a neat experience for those women just to know that, hey, my voice is really being heard and that kind of thing.
We try to listen that day and it's kind of an open forum. And the great thing about women getting together is about 40 to 50 of us get together and we call it our internal day. And then the next day we have a conference. But that day is just ours, and it's geared to our issues and our ideas, and we do that a lot. And it was kind of funny, the first year we opened that forum, we went back with tremendous amounts of ideas, and the good thing about it was two of the women that led that session are on the board of directors at Bradyware. So not only did we have a time and safe space to do that, we had leadership who listened, heard, and went and advocated for us at a company level. So it makes a huge difference, but that definitely big deal. What else you got? What else we got about that?
Yeah, no, I just was thinking about that. I think the other piece about that internal day is it's all levels of employees.
Yes.
And those aren't always, you know, included in those same circles all the time. So it was interesting for people to be so honest and, you know, upfront about those issues. But then for me personally, I was thinking about this after kind of going to these, you know, empowering events and listening to these speakers and everything. Yep. I thought, you know, I'm going to take this and advocate for myself. Yes. And last year after the Women's Initiative, I actually called Missy Beheimer. I was like, let's go for a walk. And I was like, look, I want to do this. I'm ready for more. This is what I'd like to do. This is why. And I said, and in the spirit of the Women's Initiative, I'm asking for it.
Yes. Yes.
And so we just kind of started having those conversations and then spoke with Betty and Dana, you know, just various people, the advocates that kind of helped put that together. And so now, you know, a year later, you know, I've kind of stepped into the position and hopefully I will be successful in doing that.
You already are successful in doing that. But you know, when we come to the thing of Fortuna Bank and listening to Ilira, it's a great thing because you see structurally it's intentional. And Bradyware has been intentional about the Women's Initiative. Really since 2013, it was an intentional endeavor. And it's just been this amazing part of the firm and many, many women's lives. And so when we are intentional in corporate setting, you'll see impact. You really will. Not every day and not as much as you want. And it's a process and it's a journey, you know. And what we have to do, I'm a little bit older than you, maybe a lot, is we have to make sure that we've been empowered. Now who behind us needs to be empowered or who's beside us, so that when we go to those above us, it's all the same, right? It's all the same.
Right.
Well, what are some of the most surprising parts of the podcast episode for you when you listened? What were those surprises that you liked?
Yeah, this was interesting. I was like, okay, they've asked if I could, you know, provide a response. And I said, I got to, you know, want to make sure I listen to this podcast.
Yep.
And I'm in the car with Pete.
Oh, okay.
And my husband. And some of the statistics were coming out and, you know, in the conversation about sort of the challenges that Ilira was having. And he was kind of surprised by some of them. And he'd say, wow. And, you know, and I mean, he is a huge advocate. I mean, he's such a support system for me personally, professionally, you know, a big cheerleader. And it was striking to me that those things were not already in his wheelhouse.
Right.
And so then I got to thinking sort of about what we need to do. My personal feeling, and Ilira kind of suggested it, is kind of that diversity and bringing those male advocates along with us.
Yes.
And educating them and not making it just a, you know, a woman's only event, but it's educating them and saying, you know, this is why this is hard for me, or this is why, you know, we only make 87 cents on the dollar.
Right.
And use their networks and, you know, talk to there's men that come to the Women's Initiative or Women's Leadership Conference, you know, kind of ask them, what brought you here? Why are you, you know, what was your motivation for being here? And just really kind of taking their networks and their knowledge and their experiences and bringing them along with us.
One of the things about women in business or women who play key roles in business, whatever it is, raising capital is the biggest struggle for women-owned businesses. It just is. And it's not like a bank is sitting there going, this is with the women's pile and this is the men's pile. We're going to get through the men's pile first and then the women's pile gets done. It's not that. But statistics and facts show that women just cannot get lending for their ideas or for their passions. And that's a real struggle, which is at the heart of the bank. It's at the heart of, we got to help women business owners because they're 40% of new businesses are started by women. And yet women do not get through certain barriers. And a lot of that is capital. It takes capital to do it. There's other reasons, but capital is a big reason. Mm-hmm. And when men do hear those things, they go, wow, you got to be kidding me.
Right.
You know? And so you're better off with diversity in my mind, whether it's age, male versus female, it doesn't matter,
right?
If you can find a good advocate, you hold on to them,
right?
And you hold on to their networks and get and communicate your message,
right?
So, how do we educate our male advocates, though? How do we do that? You know,
right?
Besides, listen to Betty's podcast.
Of course.
Yes.
Well, I was talking with Katie, and I said, you know, I remember the men of Brady Ware coming in at the luncheon, point, and I thought, you know, that's a powerful statement to say that, you know, these men also support what you're trying to do here, and there's an opportunity for education there, you know, as they're listening to the speakers and talking with the women who are there. I think that is the challenge.
When we started a Women's Initiative, it was really the inspiration and drive of what we had at that time was two co-CEOs, and they saw we need to do this. And at that time, there were 26 shareholders when I came in. There were two women in the boardroom. And so they were like, you know, we need to start this. We need to do this. And we don't just want a fad, and we don't just want, this to come and go and all those kinds of things. But the two things they did really well was they said, we're going to give you the resources behind it, and we're going to support you. And they just let me do it. Mm-hmm. And some of it, I think, was because they didn't know what to do with it. So they couldn't come in and overhaul it. But they always have been at major things, and we have been a driver. And today we have 20 shareholders, of which 7 are women. It's not because we need to have women in the boardroom for the sake of that. It's you will have a diversity and a different questions are asked, different topics are on the table because there is different people in the room. And so I've been fortunate with just the shareholders at Brady Ware that they will listen to those statistics. They will hear it. And I've always tried to involve them at some level at the women's conference for sure. So you got to educate. You got to constantly tell your story without being obnoxious. You can't always be just pounding the pavement, right? So in the podcast, Ilaria talks a lot about mentorship and the importance of mentorship. And so we want to talk a little bit about that component with some questions. Who influences you professionally? Who are those people? Who helps you with that?
Yeah, I mean, they've certainly changed throughout my adult life.
Yeah.
My dad was a huge influence on my life. And I remember he was just the most humble superstar. And he was so well respected in his personal and professional circles that if I could even get a quarter of the respect that he had, I would be thrilled. But I had, you know, obviously mentors earlier in my career when I was in healthcare. And when I kind of went home for 15 years and stayed with the kids, it was interesting because then I had a whole different set of mentors. And, you know, it might have been playgroup moms or, you know, I was a volleyball coach or a Girl Scout leader or any of those things. But those moms were the ones who kind of, when we were talking about how we've kind of gotten these kids through a certain point in their life and we were ready to go back, trying to give you kind of, you know, that inspiration to say, you can do this. You've been practicing for this your whole life. You understand that people don't all hear the message the same way, or they don't all communicate the same way. You know, you're going to be okay. And to kind of step back into that, because I really just wanted to dip my toe in and see how it happened. And so then I went out to lunch with Lorani, who's here at Brady Ware.
Yes.
And I said, you know, I really just am ready to do this. I want to get back in there. But, you know, I said, I think I could just go in there and just be a kick-ass assistant to somebody.
Yes. Yes.
And she was like, well, you know, if you're really serious, hey, talk to these people at Brady Ware. They're looking for folks. And so that's kind of how that moved from there.
I can remember the day Luana came in and said, I think we have a great candidate, blah, blah, blah. And it's been, history has just been a really great, great ride. But, you know, all the seasons of life you go through, you know, all seasons of life. I mean, whether you're in your 40s, your 50s, your 20s, or not your 60s, they're all different. Somebody has gone through it, right?
Right.
So let's talk about that.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting because I think Katie was asking, you know, are there people that you mentor or those kinds of things? And I was like, you know, I said, I just had this amazing weekend with 9 of my sorority sisters.
Yeah.
And it's the second year that we've done it. And the way it came about was someone emailed us and said, look, I'm going through something really difficult in my life and I need you all.
Yeah.
And so in my mind, you know, we kind of all, 9 of us came from different states and made this long travel for a weekend. And, you know, I thought, oh, it's going to be a little comforting. It's going to be, you know, sort of that. And wow, was I wrong. Because it became the most powerful event in my life.
Oh.
You know, because as you said, through these women have gone through all different experiences with family, with kids, aging parents, divorce, businesses, dissolving businesses, dissolving. Yeah. and, you know, all of a sudden these folks who were going through these things had resources for financial support, legal support, all those kinds of things. So I just came away with that, like, you're mentoring people no matter what, just by sharing those stories and the experiences in those networks. And so it was really amazing. It was kind of neat.
Yes. Well, and sometimes you don't even realize that even you're a mentor to all of us just watching the seasons you've been through the last 5 years, for sure.
And a doozy.
That's another podcast. It's not today, but we've all watched. And you, sometimes you just mentor from afar and you don't even know it because people are watching you go through the season and they are inspired. So,
thank you.
So part of the bank, this women-owned bank success, though, has been all about networks and connections all coming together for the greater good, all coming together for this venture. Because it's not even just about the greater good and we're going to give more loans to women than men and all that. It really is going to be an amazing, in my mind, business and venture. And then at the end of the day, women will really benefit because there'll be this bank in place in our community. But What's important when sharing with your network? Let's talk about that. Those genuine connections, the good and the bad, and then just not career wins. You know, how can I help you with you and your business? How can we get through those things? Let's talk a little bit about that, if I said it right. Hopefully I did. But what's important when sharing your network?
It's sharing the good and the bad.
Yes.
It's, you know, I failed. This didn't work, and this is why. And so, you know, you can help people avoid, you know, missteps that you might have taken and find the benefits from things that did work for you. You know, I think, you know, you don't just want to be the Facebook, you know, this was great in my life, but it's also the, you know, this is the piece that I struggled with and finding those networks and connections.
Yep. And they're so important, and life is short and seasons come and flow. And before you know it, you're like, oh my gosh, where did this all go? And why didn't I go further or bigger? Or why didn't I slow down? But networking, and not in the terms of go get new business, but networking with the right people in your life to have those effects is amazing.
Ask the questions. I mean, people are out there. You don't have to start over and reinvent things.
Right.
Know what you're looking for and ask the questions, and people will share.
Yeah, sometimes you get just bogged down in the everyday and you don't think about it, and then all of a sudden you're like, you know, totally down. You're totally there and you're like, oh my goodness. But Well, I hope that the podcast was great, not just learning about a woman-owned bank, because it sounds like you really dug into and found some things. And hopefully you and my audience will do the same thing. You'll go to this and learn about not just an exciting venture, but that how this all can came together. And maybe there will be something that will come together for you at the same time. So I'm Betty Collins. I'm glad that you joined us today. Check out this podcast. Thank you for doing that. But check out the one that we're referring to and talking about. And again, Fortuna Bank is going to be a great, exceptional thing. Go check that out. And we are grateful for the leadership that has really made it happen. But also grateful that we can sit around and talk about it and learn and do the things that we need to do as women. So I don't know what else to say.
Awesome. Let's do like a final thank you.
Like, thank you for joining us, Eva. Well, thank you, Eva, for recording and listening to my podcast and recording and this today. We just got through a huge deadline, so today we're all a little tired, but I think we did pretty well. So
yes,
with
you.
That, we will continue to go on inspiring women through our podcast. More about inspiring women can be found on BradyWeir.com, Apple Podcasts, and Spotify. Thank you for listening.